The battle is for your mind and what you think about. God wants our willing love and worship. God wants us to willingly choose Him. God did not make us robots. Praise God, He gave us a choice. Satan wants our willing or ignorant worship. Satan doesn't care if you unknowingly worship him or give him your time and waste your life, or if you know what you're doing. Yeah, I know what Satan's about and I'm giving my life to him. There's quite a few people in media that have done so. But Satan wants your ignorant or your willing worship. God says He wants our minds fully intact and aware. God wants you thinking. Satan wants our minds short-circuited and blinded. And I'll show you this. You'll see this as we get into it. But there's a portion of your brain that if you can remove, and Satan has found a way to do so, then all information goes in your mind unfiltered, unjudged, unsorted through. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Satan wants your minds blinded. God speaks of the spirit and the flesh, Galatians 5. The spirit and the flesh war in our body. There's a constant war going on all the time. There's a pull for sin, and you have the Holy Spirit saying, no, don't do that. So God says the battle is for our minds. God wants us to make an intelligent decision based on the truth of His Word. You're at Isaiah. Look at chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together. God wants you reasoning and thinking. I gave the scripture on Sunday, be still and know that I am God. God says, I'm not interested in you feeling me or having experience. God says, I want you to know me through my word, through my word. Let us reason together. Let's talk about how you can't pay for your sins and your sins can be made whiter than snow because of my blood. I want you to think about it, and God says, let us reason together. Satan wants us to make an emotional decision based on our own happiness. That's why when somebody says, but I like rock music is designed to make you feel good. I didn't say I don't enjoy rock music. I like country music. Rap music is not my favorite genre. It does make me feel good, but I don't listen to it. Because I'm not supposed to listen to what my flesh likes. And you say, I was raised a little bit with rock music, and when I was a teenager, and the filth that I was wrapped up in, and the Kiss, and all that other stuff, it's designed to make you feel good. But you're not supposed to choose what you do based on how it makes you feel. But Satan says, come on, it has your emotions, it's got your feelings, come on, it makes you feel good. And sin has pleasure for a season. Just forget about the judgment, do wrong, because it feels good. Come on, it feels good. And that's how Satan tries to lie to you. Live for the now. Don't think of how this is going to turn out 5 years from now. Just live for the immediate. Don't think of how this is going to affect you tomorrow. Just live for the now. So Satan does that by doing what? How does that make you feel? It makes you feel good. God says He wants us, take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 9. He wants us to know who He is and what He stands for. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. We'll go to just a few places tonight, but go over just one book of the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 9, and look at verse number 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, verse 24. Watch this. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God says what makes you a strong Christian is when you know me by my word, when you understand the scripture about who I am. See, if your concept about Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. If your concept is that he's a mealy-mouthed, weak wimp, well, see, I want to be like, then you're not trying to be like the Jesus of the Bible. Then you don't know the Jesus of the Bible. But God is all love. God is love and God is judgment. But God would never... Are you sure you know what God wouldn't do? God says, him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows me and understands me by my word. Satan wants to mask who he is. That's part of his lie and what he stands for. Remember, what is Satan's number one job? Deception. He is a specialist at throwing up a smokescreen and getting you to see things that aren't there and think things that aren't real. His major job is deception, and that's what we talked about last week. And what's going to be the tool he uses to accomplish that with? Music, because no one knows music like Lucifer does. God created him that way. With this war going on inside of us, you've got the carnal man, you've got the flesh, and you've got the spiritual man. And every day it's a battle, me against Jesus. Do you know when I have a good day? When I lose. Do you know when I have a bad day? It's when I win. No, it's your flesh against the spirit, but bottom line is it's me against Jesus every day. And it's a good day when I die. And I don't do what I want to do, and I do what He wants me to do. Every day is a battle, and the only one that wins is the one that I feed the most. Whichever one gets fed is the one that wins. But every day is a battle. Every day is a battle. God says in Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing good. I love what one old preacher said. He stood before and he read this verse. He said to everybody three times, "Your flesh is wicked. Your flesh is wicked. Your flesh is wicked." Man, I mean, he could have had an invitation. Yep, my flesh is wicked. There's nothing good in me. God says that. I cannot trust my heart. My heart will lie to me. My feelings. God says, "For the will I want to do good is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." God says in Romans 7:19, "For the good that I would, what I know I'm supposed to do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." And that's because of my flesh. All of us have that battle going on. And a victorious Christian learns how to keep their flesh weak and yielded to the Holy Spirit doing what God wants him to do. But it's a battle all of us face every day. 2 Corinthians 3:18, God says, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit." That would be the influence of the moving of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. The opposite is true also. How does God change us? By you beholding the glory of the Lord through His Word and reading His Word, He changes you from glory to glory. You say, what happens if you don't read your Bible? If you aren't in the Word of God, then the same is true with Lot. In seeing and hearing their unrighteous deeds vexed his soul. If we're beholding the Lord through as a glass, His glory, that's through His Word, and we're changed every day from glory to glory, and we get stronger and stronger spiritually, then watch this, Satan can also degrade us by what we see and what we hear. The opposite of this is true also. God has access to us, and Satan has access to us. And it's whatever one we give into. How does God and Satan have access to our mind? Through the five senses. Sight, touch, taste, smell, hearing. That's why God says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." These are the gateways to your heart. So if you're going to guard your heart, remember Lot vexed his soul in seeing and hearing their unrighteous deeds. 2 Peter. Through seeing things he shouldn't have seen and hearing things he shouldn't have heard, he vexed or poisoned his soul. And yet he was saved. He was saved. So God says the five senses, sight, touch, taste, smell, and hearing, is how Satan or God has access to our mind. It's what we choose to expose ourselves to. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, God says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be," wonderful word, "sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, in your ignorance." God says, get a hold of your mind. Gird up. If a man had a garment on to gird, he would reach through and pull it up and tuck it in his belt. Then he could run without the garment tripping him. God says, gear up your mind and be sober. And he's not saying quit drinking. It says here, be sober. That means to have full control of your faculties. I'm not going with the flow. I'm not emotionally wrapped up in anything. I'm thinking through it. I'm thinking, is that right? Is that wrong? God says, be sober in your mind. Then God says in the same book, that's 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 5 says, be sober, aware, watchful, be vigilant, aware, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Remember I told you, Satan wants your brain short-circuited so he can give you all types of lies. God says, I want you thinking. I want your mind alert and aware. Word sober here is a neat word. We'll look at more of it here in a little bit. You must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing things that suggest impure thoughts. God says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We live in the information age and everything's just a click away. Need to be very careful what you read. I don't read from pastors that don't go soul winning. I don't listen to preaching that is not from the King James Bible. I don't do that. You say, oh, but who's in Memphis? Memphis, and you got that big Southern Baptist headquarters there, and that guy, he goes out all over the way. I don't listen to other preachers. If they don't use the King James Bible, I don't listen to them. And if they're not a soul-winning preacher, I don't listen to them. I don't read them. You can go through the books in my office, and if they're bad, they're marked poison. This book is poison. Okay, I have a few books, Rick Warren and stuff like that, but they're marked poison. God says, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Whatsoever you sow that you're going to reap, God says, I'm not mocked. God says, don't be deceived. God says, you cannot expose yourself to wrong and then walk away unscathed. You can't look at things you're not supposed to look at and listen to things you're not supposed to listen to and read what you're not supposed to read and it not hurt you. Be very careful. You cannot casually, randomly let things influence you. God says, be sober and aware and alert. God says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, listen, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. A Christian has to guard their mind. There are things, I'm not going to think about that. I will not think about that. I will not let my mind go there. I'm supposed to bring into captivity every, that's being sober. That is, and God says there are some people because they don't guard their minds, Satan gains strongholds in their life. And it's because of what they let their mind think about. A Christian has to say, no, I will not cross that line. God has a lot to teach in the Bible, in His Word, about the mind. Now, watch this. The battle is for our mind. When you look at the brain, why? Because in your brain is the essence of who we are. When we talk about your soul, your personality, what you like, what you don't like, it's all in your brain. It's all in your brain. This is the story of Phineas Gage, and we'll go through him real quick if you've never heard of him. In Vermont in about 1847, he was a 25-year-old man. His job was he carried a 3-foot-long, 14-pound, inch-and-a-quarter steel rod. His job was they would drill a hole in the rock, then they would pack in gunpowder, put in a charge, then put sand on top of it, and then his job was to go and make sure it was done right. Then they would blow the charge, and they would just do this all day long. And so he was blowing rock all day long. That rod that he carried was sharpened to a 1/4-inch point on one end. So it's 3 inches long, it's 1.25 inches diameter. He went to one of the places. His job was to check it before they blasted it, make sure that the packing sand and somebody didn't put sand on top of the sand was to keep it from igniting with a spark. And when he put that rod in the thing, it hit a rock and sparked. And it set the gunpowder off and it blew the rod, the point, went through underneath his cheekbone And the rod was propelled through his skull and it landed. It literally went up here behind his eye, through his head, and it landed 80 feet away. He goes forward, so he's got a hole in the top of his head and a hole in his face. Then he lived to tell about it. He got in a wagon, goes to the doctor. He's after he falls forward, then they pick him up and he's obviously going into shock, but he's maintaining. He goes and sits in front of a doctor's office for 3 hours, and the doctor, I read the doctor's report on how he took care of him. This is a picture of his skull. See right there, the hole? It went through his cheek here, blew through his head this way. Dr. Harlow, the doctor that treated him, we're going somewhere with this, so just hang with me just for a second. He's one of the most famous injuries in American history because it showed how the frontal lobe affects us. Dr. Harlow said Gage was fitful, irreverent, indulging at times in the grossest profanity, which was not previously his custom. He wasn't that type of a person. He was a Christian man. But we'll show you in just a second. Impatient of restraint or advice when it conflicted with his desires. This is a picture of the rod and the path that it took. And this right here is the frontal lobe of his brain. We'll get into that. He said he was a child in his intellectual capacity and manifestations. He has animal passions of a strong man. Previous to his injury, although untrained in the schools, he possessed a well-balanced mind. And they said after the accident, his personality changed and he became a dirty, vile person. How could that happen? The part of your brain that is back here, your lobe is up front, and this part is called the limbic lobes. Neurologist Paul McLean says, the limbic lobes regulate the emotions concerned with our four basic instincts. In other words, the frontal lobe that's in front of your brain is the limbic system, the frontal lobe is the control center. In the limbic system, okay, in your brain is your fight, flight, survival, and procreation. Those instincts are in here. What keeps it restrained? In other words, when somebody would come up to Mr. Gage and maybe try to provoke a fight, his frontal brain would kick in and say, I'm a Christian, I'm going to respond this way. I'm not going to do certain things. But when that rod went through and took, the doctor said he was removing parts of his brain out of the top of his head. When it removed the frontal part of his brain, your control center, he was still able to live. He did. He died 12 years later. He joined a circus, went off, left his family, everything. Went off, joined a circus as a freak show and all that, and then died that way. The reason I'm telling you that is he changed. He lost the control center that controlled his desires, his actions, how he responded. And he is the psychological illustration. One, it's amazing that he lived. But second of all, scientists and neurologists have used his illustration of wondering, how could a man live after having a rod pass through and literally have part of your brain blown out? The part of his brain that he lost was the frontal lobe. Back here in your limbic system, once again, that is your fight, that's your flight, that's your survival, your procreate. They say when a soldier gets into war, in a life-threatening situation, the frontal part, when your adrenaline goes up, and they say literally only 10% of the front part of the mind works, and this goes in. That's why the training of a police officer, of a soldier, is so important, because they then start reacting. They then start reacting when bullets are flying and stuff like this. This is just an illustration. Let's keep on going here. This is how God made us. So the frontal lobe that's in the front of the brain up here is the control center. Remember that. Paul McLean's also concerning the limbic lobes. The limbic system as a whole appears to be the primary seat of emotion, attention, and emotionally charged memories. Okay, so that's your limbic system. This is a picture of Gage. There's the rod. He's holding that rod. In this regard, his mind was radically changed so decidedly that his friends and his acquaintances said he was no longer the man that they knew. How could that be? Because his regulation, his control center was removed, and he did what? Whatever he felt like doing. He was unrestrained, and that's how he became a dirty, nasty person, and the sad story. But there he is, okay? Next, that's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be," there's that word again, "sober, alert in our mind. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, aware, alert in our minds, putting on," watch this, "the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." What's in your head? That's why knowing that you're saved is wonderful. That's our helmet of salvation. We know we're saved. I've trusted Jesus. My sins are all gone. I'm on my way to heaven. And I have on my head, it's protected. I'm thinking scripturally, the helmet is my hope of salvation. And God says that's how we're supposed to think. All right, watch this. The devil uses music to give us... So, okay, let's use Gage as an example. If the devil could take the front part of your mind and remove it, then he could put into it whatever he wants and get you to live like an animal, doing whatever you feel like doing, get you doing whatever you desire to do. So the devil has found a way. You know what a frontal lobotomy is? It's the removal of the front lobe. Okay, the devil has found a way through his music to give us a frontal lobotomy. Okay, let me show you this. The frontal lobe is one third of the brain. God made us, we are a part of God's creation. We have the largest frontal lobe control center of any of God's creation. A dog's frontal lobe is only a quarter of his brain. Ours is one third. Do you understand? And only mankind, only us as people, God's people, have that size. It's a control center. It's a sorting. Let me show you here. It's our control center. It's where we solve problems. How am I going to fix this? It is our seat of reasoning. It's our way of thinking. This all happens in the frontal part of your brain. It is our filter. What is right? What's wrong? What's bad? What's good? That all takes place in the front of your mind. All right? Next, in a frontal lobe that is functional, all right, in a frontal lobe that's fully thinking, I don't think this is over anybody's head, but you do got to stay with me here. Beta waves are present and active, indicating active sound thinking. In neurology, they have ways of gauging your brain activity, gamma waves, beta waves, alpha waves, and there's several. All we're going to talk about is alpha and beta. Are you ready? Here we go. Alpha waves are incoming information is deposited in our memory without any interpretation or any filter. Beta is when we're dynamically, critically, it's when we're actively thinking with all incoming information. In other words, when you're sitting in church, when you're sitting at home, when you're, you know, if you're watching TV, hopefully your brain doesn't shut down totally, but you can sort through the information. You can say, that's right, that's wrong, that's good, that's scripture, that's what's right. When we were singing the songs, I wonder have I done my best. You were analyzing the information. I hope you were thinking about the words we were singing. It was good. It was good. And you're actively thinking. Beta waves look like this. They move real fast, and when your brain is analyzing, it's active and it's thinking. Alpha waves, when your mind is in an alpha state, it is a much slower way of thinking. The best way to describe it is this way. When you're learning, when you're being educated, your beta brain waves are analyzing it. Okay, is this good? Filtering. When you go out and you relax, and you sit, let's say you go out to a quiet place in the woods and the stream is going, and you sit down and you just, I need to relax. Then you go into an alpha state where you do what? You just take in the sights. You're relaxed. You're not analyzing anything, right? That's called an alpha wave state. We're going to get into it, but that is a bad way to be. God says, be sober-minded. It's not bad to relax. Don't get me wrong, but we're going somewhere with this, okay? A beta is what God says is a sober-minded person, analyzing, actively thinking, filtering. It's the reasoning, okay? So do you understand the difference between alpha and beta? Okay, alpha and beta, that's what we're going to talk about. Here, biblical meditation is when you are in a beta mindset. Mystical meditation, like yoga, they want you to empty your mind and go into an alpha brain set so that you can do what? Hear the demon voices. God never says empty your mind. We've seen scripture that says over and over and over again, be sober, be vigilant. You keep your mind awake. That's why no Christian's supposed to ever get hypnotized. You don't ever give your faculties over to somebody else. That's not being sober-minded. You're to stay in control. And that's why when you meditate on God's Word, that's observing to do. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That doesn't mean like they're starting to teach in the non-denominational churches, contemplative prayer. I'll hit that in just a second. Take a few of God's words and just say them over and over and over again until your mind empties. That is unscriptural. It's wrong. It's mysticism. It is. God does not want you, when you read your Bible, to be in an alpha brain state. God says, I want you thinking. I want to teach you. I want you thinking with me. All right? Watch this. Eastern meditation and yoga want you to clear and relax your mind. That's dangerous. God wants you to keep your mind intact. Christian contemplative prayer is wrong, and I just wanted to make a mention of that tonight. That's where there anything that tries to get you. Yoga, I don't have a problem with stretches. You want to do yoga stretches, you know? I don't have a problem. Okay, I can't do all of them. The problem with yoga is when they're saying, as you're doing it, empty your mind. That part of yoga is bad. Do you understand? Empty your mind, because they're wanting you to do what? Hear the voices and be able to receive spiritual information that is not of God. Okay? So, we understand the difference between Bible meditation and the world's meditation. Modern science has proven that illegal drugs damage the frontal lobe. Short circuit it. Some prescription drugs damage the frontal lobe, your ability to control, your ability to reason, your ability to filter out right and wrong. Alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, okay? Certain foods damage the frontal lobe. They still don't know all that caffeine does. That's why I get scared with the kids that are drinking the energy drinks. You know what I mean? Oh, I live off Red Bull. It's short-circuiting their frontal lobe. It's not killing it, it's short-circuiting it. And that's why certain things, you have to be careful what you put in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you aren't careful, you'll lose your mind. In other words, your ability to decipher right from wrong, okay? Your ability to filter, okay? Watch this. Certain modern movies impair the frontal lobe when they're going from this scene, and then 3 seconds later, this scene, and then this scene, and then this scene. Widescreen, this scene, this scene. Your brain starts to go, during a movie, your brain starts to go, wait a second, this isn't life. Look, you've been looking at me for the past 15 minutes. The scene hasn't changed. Slides have. This is reality. Looking at a TV screen where it's changing all the time, that's not reality. It doesn't cause you to totally kick out. A music videos totally fry. They totally remove it. Totally, your front of your brain shuts down. It says, "Whoa, too much," especially with the rock music videos and all that filth. Okay. Next, many modern television programs impair the frontal lobe. It's because of how they're designed, like I just told you, the scenes and the scene changes. That's why when they say, if you didn't have a TV in your house, you really would be better off. How would you get educated? Same way before they had TV. Trust me, you don't have to have it. However, I didn't say all TV was bad. Okay? I'm just saying there are some things that caught your brain. It's an overload on everybody's brain. All right? Watch this. The prefrontal cortex, in other words, you have a frontal lobe, and the very front part of that, the very front part is what they call the prefrontal cortex. In this part of your brain is your character, what you are, what you do and what you don't do, your spirituality. This is in the very front part. They call it the crown, right where a crown would rest on your head going right across here. This is the crown, and this is your spirituality. It's your discernment. It's your morality, what you will do and what you won't do. It is your will. It's how you choose. It's what you obey with. And it's what you worship and talk with God with. You could say the very frontal part of your brain is your soul. It's the location of your soul. And that's why come you can kind of sometimes read your Bible with mind and soul being interchanged. Because this is where we make all of our decisions. Where am I going with this? The battle is your mind. In this, right behind it, is your memory. Okay, I'm sorry. Right behind it is your memory. And before it gets logged in your memory banks, in your memory is everything we've ever done. In your memory is everything you've ever smelled, tasted, seen, heard, or everything. You ever heard the old statement, what goes into the computer stays in the computer, and it never leaves. Never. You say, "Oh boy, no, it leaves, Pastor. I promise you, it leaves. I there's things I can't even." It's in your memory, and it gets logged in there. Watch this; it's perfectly recorded. God made our minds. Okay, it is God's. They still don't make a computer that's as fast as our brain. Do you understand? All right. God's still, amen, number one. All right, he's number one in many areas. But watch this. Everything is perfectly recorded in your memory, which is right behind the frontal part. That's why God says in the Bible, Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You become what you think about. As you think in your heart, as you meditate, as you dwell on, you eventually become. Your mind's very powerful. God made us that way. All right? Watch this. God says here, in this article in Newsweek in 2000, it was 16 years ago? They said this, in the decline and fall of Christian America. In this article, it said, scientists are finding that the human brain is pre-wired for music. Listen closely. The temporal lobes of the brain just behind the ears act as the music center. Okay? Last week we learned what? Our ears are how much more sensitive than our eyes? Does anybody remember? 50. Your ears are 50 times more sensitive than your eyes. God made us that way, right? That was the statement here. The brain seems to be a sponge for music, and like a sponge in water, is changed by the music. The music you listen to determines your character. Next week, we'll show you how there are some types of music that Satan has found a way. All I have to do is change the beat and syncopate the beat, and the frontal brain, the frontal part of the mind, shuts down and leaves, and then all information comes in unfiltered. And then your character changes. If the character of your music is bad, you become like your music. Your brain is changed. If the character of your music is good, your character is changed. That's how come they say, music doesn't change my actions. Oh, yes, it does. God made you that way. Music is very powerful. Watch this. Here, David Merrill's high school science fair project. Watch this closely. He took some mice, 16-year-old. He thought the loud sounds of hard rock music must have a bad effect on its devoted fans and came up with a way to test the damage. Okay, so what he did was He got 72 mice, and he divided them into three groups. One to test a mouse's response to hard rock, another to the music of Mozart, and then a control group that wouldn't listen to any music at all. So he takes 24 mice. This is going to listen to hard rock. This is going to listen to Mozart. And these mice here, these 24, they're not going to listen to any music at all. Watch what he found out. You'll like this. The young visionary got the mice accustomed to living in aquariums in his basement, then started playing music. He plays the music to the two groups 10 hours a day. In the maze, he puts each mouse through a maze, puts the cheese at the end, and three times a week that originally had taken the mice an average of 10 minutes to complete. So before they started listening to the music, he finds out that the mouse takes 10 minutes to go through this maze and find the cheese. Watch what happens. In this, over time, the 24 control group, this is the group that had no music played to them, okay? They managed to cut about 5 minutes from their maze completion time. Okay, this is the 24 mice that are not listening to any music. So they get used to the maze, they get used to where it is, and they can cut their time in half. Watch this. The Mozart listening mice cut their time back 8.5 minutes. So they went from 10 minutes to 1.5 minutes of being able to find the cheese. Okay? All right. Yay, the cheese. Okay. Watch this. The hard rock mice added 20 minutes to their time. 20 minutes. Making the average maze running time 300% more than the original average. In other words, I can't find the cheese, but this music is awesome. You know? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So he turns his findings, 24 mice, 24 mice, 24 mice, he turns it into, he told the Associated Press what he'd found in his report, okay, in his experiment. They said, no, that can't be. They got their own mice, did the same thing, and found it to be exactly true. Found his findings were exact, spot on. In other words, they reproduced the experiment, found the same findings. Okay? He said, what was it? He said he attempted the experiment the year before. Okay? Allowing the mice in the different groups to live together. Okay? And then it says, here he said, I had to cut my project short because all the hard rock mice killed each other. Can't find the cheese? You know what I mean? That's as far as what they started doing there. Isn't that amazing? So there is a music that makes you stupid, okay, and violent, okay? That it affects the mind. If it affects a little bitty mouse's brain. They took the mice that had eaten each other and analyzed their brain. There was unnatural branching, and part of their brains had started to atrophy, harden. That's what rock music does to a person's mind. Okay? A person's mind. If it does that to mice, obviously. If you've never heard of Patty Hearst, in 1974, she was a wealthy person, and she was kidnapped by the Sinbinese Liberation Army, and the story is on the internet. You can read it for yourself. But they shortly after she attempted to rob banks after she was kidnapped, how was she converted from a nice girl to a bank robber? Okay? William Sargent, Britain's foremost expert on brainwashing, examined Patty Hearst, and she was an unwilling victim of a forced conversion or brainwashing. How did they do it? According to Sargent, a person whose nervous system is under constant pressure can inhibit and exhibit paradoxical brain activity. And in other words, when they put the brain under stress, what's bad becomes good and what's good becomes bad. In other words, they found a way to override it. So, with Patty Hearst, it says that's precisely what happened to her. Her nervous system was kept at maximum stress by the continual playing of loud rock music. They put her in a room, turned up the rock music, and made her listen to it, and then programmed her brain. And then Within a short period of time, she's robbing banks with them, thinking that it's... They brainwashed her with rock music. This is a fairly old story, and there's several like it, but Patty Hearst is probably the most famous one. What did they do? They got the frontal part of the brain to shut down, so then straight into the memory, they could record any information that they want. We're almost done. Watch this. I know I've gone a little bit. Jimi Hendrix. He died in 1970 of a drug overdose. What a wonderful person. Okay. He said, he's known as probably one of the greatest guitarists of all time. Okay? Bad person. He's in hell now. However, he said, you can hypnotize people with music, and when you get them at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious what we want to say. That's what the musicians are saying. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, one of them said, the purpose of rock music is to increase the gap between the parents and the children. We know what we're doing with the music. We're programming the kids. We know what our music does. Watch this. It's called The Eggs Are Done. Teenagers were taking raw eggs and putting them at the front of a stage at rock concerts. Not just one or two, like several hundred were doing this. This became a fad, okay? They would take raw eggs to a rock concert if they had front row seats, and they'd put them on the front of the stage of the rock concert. Midway through the rock concert, they could take the egg, peel it, and eat it because it had been hardened by the music. The bass and the loud music caused the one cell to harden to where they could, oh, it's cold, dude. Okay. All right. Isn't that amazing? Wait a second. If it does that to the cell of an egg, what is it doing to your body? What is it doing to your body? Here we go. Almost done. Dr. Daniel Bernadette Skubick, neuroscientist, he says their studies have proven that any music that contains pounding low frequencies, like the ones we hear at airports or construction sites, is considered to be a brain drain. Rock, hip-hop, pop music falls into this category because of the driving bass guitar and other low sounds. It causes a drain on your brain. You ever been around the loud music at a the loud sounds at a construction site? It's like, whoa, I need to get away from here. It's a brain drain. Same thing with the music. Watch this. The opposite is true. Dr. Alfred Tomatis said, music that contains high frequencies helps the brain recharge. The higher the frequency, the more the brain is recharged. So it says between 5,000 and 8,000 hertz. And watch this, the music for Mozart, for example, contains more of these frequencies than any of the other composers. To listen to Mozart, to listen to violin music, concerto violin music, recharges your mind. The frequencies, it's the way God made us to respond to music. The battle is for the mind. Watch this. The music does affect the physical body. We'll read this quote here in the book, The Secret Power of Music. There is scarcely a single function of the body which cannot be affected by musical tones. The roots of the auditory nerves are more widely distributed and possess more extensive connections than those of any other nerves in the body. Remember, your ears are what? 50 times more sensitive than your eyes. All right, watch else here. He also says, investigation has shown that music affects digestion. That means bad music can give you indigestion. Good music can help your digestion. Internal secretions, circulation, nutrition, and respiration. Even neural networks of the brain have been found to be sensitive to harmonic principles. Next, that music can raise or lower blood pressure. It can help mental illness. There's all types of reports out there where they take people that are mentally sick, they play classical music to them to calm them down and to help their mental illness. Okay? Helps with depression. Wait a second. It can help depression, and if you listen to the wrong music, it'll depress you. Okay? It also helps with retardation. Children who are retarded, they're doing a lot of study. That's been around for, 30 years, but it helps retarded children. It helps you when you can't sleep. Good music does. Music can affect, it affects your, it'll speed up your metabolism or slow your metabolism down. It'll affect your muscular energy. It influences digestion. We've already said that. And it may be able, Julius Pertnoy said, it may be able to do all these things more successfully, music can, than any other stimulants that produce those changes in our bodies. Music is probably, you know what the bottom line is? Music is more powerful than many drugs. Better be careful what you listen to. Better be careful what you expose your to, because it'll shut down your mind if it's the wrong music. All right? Frédéric Chopin, at 10 years old, Frédéric Chopin was summoned to play for the Grand Duke Constantine, governor of Poland. Okay? The governor of Poland at this time, this is in the early 1800s, was having seizures. Chopin, you can play it. Chopin, it's not playing? Yeah, just turn. It's kind of coming through. Can you turn it up a little bit through? He wrote this for the governor of Poland to help his seizures. He's called a poetic musical genius, Chopin is, okay? The music that he would do, and the governor would call as a 10-year-old boy, and it would stop the governor's seizures. Then it would last for a while, and when the governor's seizures would start back again, he'd call the boy back to the palace, and he would play, because the music was doing what? It was calming the brain. This is in the early 1800s. I'm not telling you that you have to. You can cut it. I'm not telling you got to listen to a lot of classical music, but I will say this: the character of the classical music will help you. It's healthy. You understand? It's healthy. Let's take it just a few more here. In Revelation, God mentions the forefront of our mind in the Bible. Here in Revelation 14. Just watch this. It says, a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, in the frontal lobe. So here, people are able to get the mind of Satan. Okay? In Revelation 14. In another chapter, in Revelation 14 verse 1, it says, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Written in the frontal lobe. There. So here you have the mind of Satan and the mind of God. Okay? Be careful. Let's keep on going here. Romans chapter 1. They say that a homosexual, how they justify the stuff is just ridiculous. But the chemistry of a homosexual's mind is different, and that's why they act the way they do. God doesn't make homosexuals. Read Romans 1. When they don't want to hold God in their knowledge, God gives them up. God gives them up till finally, when you read Romans chapter 1, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When someone says, I'm going to live like an animal, and I'm not going to use the brain God gave me, but I'm going to live with my animal impulses, they can train themselves to be a reprobate. And that's when the mind gives way to the filth. No, homosexuals don't have a different chemical makeup than everybody else. They made themselves perverts. They made themselves deviant. All right? Here, God teaches us to be careful about what we think. Let's end with this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. A prayer life is so important. You're talking with God. You're reasoning with God. You're reading God's Word. You're walking with God. And the peace of God, if you'll pray about everything, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then this verse, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. God says, you be very careful what your mind thinks about, what you dwell on. That's how come it'd be nice if you took the TV program and said, does it fit this filter? Is it lovely? Is it true? Is it honest? Pure? Is it of good report? Does the music make you think that you listen to? Good music is so important, and it, if you aren't careful, the devil has found a way to give us a frontal lobotomy and remove the frontal cortex of our brain through music. Next week, we'll show you how that's done. Let's pray. Father, please.